I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. The Spirit of God moved upon a man named Solomon to set forth in the first three verses of this chapter the conclusion that he had come to concerning all things pertaining to this fleeting world. Here's what it is. Verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vapor. Vapor. Vanity. Everything pertaining to this world is going to come to nothing. Nothing. You take your last breath, and it don't matter how much money you got, kind of car you drive, kind of house you live in, it's done. It's over. And we're going to meet God. Now, Solomon has been instructed to relate that even the continual activity of this planet on which we live, this world that is powerfully and providentially being ordered by Him who rules in heaven and earth, is just going to be here for just a little while longer. Verse 4 says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth, now listen to this, abideth forever. Now, our time on this earth is short. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Spirit of God moved on King David to write these words, 1 Chronicles 29:15, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. What does that mean? That means there's absolutely no hope or expectation that we're going to stay here. It ain't going to happen. 100%. So man is born to die. And we're going to leave everything as quickly as we thought we accumulated it. We're going to depart this world for another. And where that world is comes down to this question. What think you of Christ? What think you of Him? Is He the Savior of sinners? Or is He one that wants to be, if man let Him? Now, what do you think? Solomon was moved to say, one generation passeth away, another generation come. I thought about that. I've said this before. This is just a blip in eternity right now. By the grace of God, we happen to be here right now. We happen to be here right now for a moment. And another generation is going to come. And this world, the Scripture says, abideth forever. Now, hold your place here. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter 3. I want to read something. Second Peter chapter 3. Now we know that this world in which we live is not going to last in its present state forever. How do you know that? Because I'm getting ready to read it to you. 2 Peter 3, 9 to 13. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's long-suffering to His people. Not willing that any should perish, any of His people should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All God's people are going to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and all walk and attitude and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, Mr. John Gill, I looked at what Mr. Gill had to say concerning this, and this is what he had to say. The form of this earth is going to be changed. The form of it. That which God created shall continue, but it shall be renewed and refined. The elements, he said, in their present state will pass away and melt with fervent fire. When the scripture says that, he's talking about we look for a new heaven and a new earth, new heavens and a new earth. The word new there is a word that means freshness. We look for a fresh earth. He said, while there is another word, new, and that deals with age. So, he said, this world in which we live, the elements as we know them, all that was affected by the fall, this earth was cursed. Weeds started to grow. Man had to start working by the sweat of his brow. Things changed because of sin. These things are going to melt away. They're going to pass away. And we're going to see a fresh earth, fresh heavens. So the scripture declares that one generation passes away, another generation coming, but the earth abideth forever. Not the way we see it. Not the way we know it. These things tainted by sin are going to pass away, but God's going to create a fresh earth and a fresh heavens. I said, well, what do you say about that? I said, well, let God be true and every man's a liar. I may not understand all that I hear or read, but the Word of God declares it to be so, and it's so. So it is. Ecclesiastes 1:5, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. Now, here, according to the continual motion of the earth, the sun is said to rise and set according to God's determinate counsel and providence, according to the seasons, and then hasteneth to the place where he arose. You know, we watch the sun go down. And the scripture says, my margin gives the explanation of that. It hasteneth, it panteth. It gives the setting forth that when the sun goes down, it's running as fast as it can to get around to the other side, and we're going to see it come up again. That's what the implication is here. The sun ariseth and the sun goeth down and hasteth, it panteth to his place where he arose. It's running to rise again. And if you want to know what time it's going to rise, or exactly where on the horizon it's going to rise according to the seasons, what happened a year ago on this day at that moment? If you want to know what time it's going to come up, or somebody said, well, what about leap year? Well, leap year then too. God determined all the world's seasons and times. Where's it going to come up? Is it going to come up right there? Or is it going to come up right there? Where did it come up last year? It's perpetual motion. Verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. I like the motion of the sun. The scripture declares the wind to be continually going toward the south. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about on the north. It makes a circuit, and it's whirling continually in a fresh motion, but it's repeating itself over and over and over, and it seems to make no progress to an end. It's doing the same thing. It seems the wind, that which is seems to be the freest of all created things, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Where does it list? Exactly where God says it's going to go. It's going to go south, then it's going to turn around and go back north, and it's going to do the same law of God's immutable changelessness. God ordained repetition. But let me ask you this. Is that not the description of man? You know, I thought about this the other day. You'll understand what I'm saying. We get up every morning and do basically the same thing. Same thing. Get up. Get ready. Either go here, go to work, or we're retired, we do this. You know, mow the grass. We're going to clean the house. You know, Linda told me she'd clean the house, and she said that afternoon needs cleaning again. Dust it again. Why? Because we're going to do the same thing over and over and over and just get older. We're going to go, you know. We laugh because on Thursdays we pick up garbage. They said, you mean it's garbage day already again? Here just happened. It just happened. So here we do the same thing, go with the same spirit of hurry and worry about everything that vexes our spirit. And then we go to bed. We get up the next morning. Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from which the rivers come, thither they return again. Everything, again, is moving. It's never resting. Nothing's ever resting. It's the earth moves, the wind blows, the sun comes up, and we see all the rivers. I mean, river, I grew up seeing the Mississippi River run right, you know. Right down, here's Louisiana, and the Mississippi River is the border between Louisiana and Mississippi. And you go down to New Orleans, and you look at the mouth of the Mississippi River, it's right about a mile wide. I mean, it's a big river. And water is flowing right into the Gulf of Mexico, and been flowing there for eons of time. And the water level of the Gulf of Mexico, according to the tides, is basically there. Where's that? Well, it's evaporating, and it's the ocean is no miser that stores up all the water that's flowing into it, then it's teaching all creation. There is a perpetual motion, a perpetual giving. That which God teaches through the creation sets forth the glory of God. There's a giving, there's a receiving, and there's a giving. We're learning that God gives. God gave His only begotten Son. He gave all He had, His Son, that sinners like me and you might be saved. So here you take the Son. They say the sun's going to burn out, you know, in so many millions or billions of years, you know. No, it's not. You know when it's going to be burned up? Whenever God ends this. When there's new heavens and a new earth. It's just the sun, it's just there. It's just giving off heat. And what it does, it heats the ocean that has all this water going into it and evaporation. And it goes back and, you know, there's a giving back, I read where they say that almost 80% of the oxygen that we breathe, we've been breathing for a long time in this world. Where'd all the oxygen come back from? Well, they say plants. You know, if you've been in school for any time, you'll remember at least the word. You may not be able to. Photosynthesis. To be able to replenish. 80%, they said, comes from the ocean. All the plankton and it gives back. So the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full. Unto the place from which the rivers come, thither they return. That water's going up. It's going to rain. And it's going to put it right back where it was. And it's going to come right on down that river again, and do the same thing. Well, what did the Scriptures teach us concerning giving? Turn to Luke 6. I want you to look at this. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Hear the words of our Lord. Luke chapter 6. Let's look at verse 36, 38. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give. Is that just money? No. No. Give you time. Give you attitude. Give you love. What do? You treat others like you want to be treated. That's how you do it. That's what you give. And it shall be given to you. Good measure. Oh, what a lesson through these blessed words taught that even the earth is in subjection to Almighty God, receiving, giving, but only those that are taught in heart know this. They only those that are taught of God know the joy of God-given generosity. That's what he's saying right here. The wind goes in south, north, comes back, circuits, rivers, back, rivers come down, sun rises, runs around to the other side. It is God's perpetual providential care. Verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. All things weary with toil. One generation past another comes up, sun rises, wind blows, rivers flow. We see and hear things that we think for a while is going to satisfy us. They don't. You think of the most desirable place that you'd like to go. Every once in a while, I'll be watching TV, History Channel. I like looking at old stuff. You know, I look at, like, Sphinx over in Egypt. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. Those of you that's been to the Grand Canyon, and you've seen it. Okay, you've seen the Grand Canyon. You stood there and you looked at it. Are you just dying to go back? Is that your heart's desire? I got to go back and look at it one more. I've seen a picture of it. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I don't get me wrong. But the thing about it is, once you've seen it, you've seen it. I grew up, you know, as stupid as anybody could possibly be. Man, I grew up, back in the 60s, there were bands. I thought, I just got to hear them. And I did. I went to some of them and heard them. And you know what? They sound just like the records. Sound just like they did. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear filled with hearing. If I could just hear something that was just so wonderful. It's old. It didn't satisfy me. Nothing in this world does. We hear them, we see them, and we've seen this place and that place. Now I got to go over here. This is satisfied over here. I want to go see the Eiffel Tower. Statue of Liberty. I mean, we're just not satisfied with those things. Whatever we crave for the moment in this life, we're going to tire of it. You get tired of it. And after we've dwelt on it, and then we got to have something fresh. Look at Acts 17. This is the same thing with false religion. Acts 17. Apostle Paul was in a place called Athens. Acts 17, verse 18 to 21. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean, for the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Well, by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God. A door was opened unto him because of that attitude. Wanting to see some new thing. And I'm telling you, every time you want to see some new thing, especially when it comes to religion, it's wrong. It's wrong. Write it down. Whatever you're thinking about, it's wrong. Look how the Spirit of God moved. Let me just inject something right here. You know, we're to be witnesses one to another. I want to invite people to come. I want them to hear. You know, and there's a danger. We used to have Tuesday night visitations and stuff like that. You know, and I thought, man, we're really doing something for the Lord. You know, you go out there and knock on somebody's door about 6 o'clock. He just got in from work and he's tired, and his wife's had a bad day. She's trying to get supper, and he just, you know, just being impatient and all this kind of. He's tired, she's tired, and she's. And here comes somebody, and they're going to witness for the Lord. Let me tell you what will happen. The Spirit of God will providentially open a door. Be mindful. Be mindful of that. Be mindful of what is going on around you. Let me show you what happened here back in Acts 17. They wanted to hear some new thing. Verse 22, then Paul stood. Okay, you want to hear some new thing? Is that what you want? Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. You're so religious, you reek. You reek. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I, therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord in heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Whenever the Lord is pleased, be mindful, be listening. Start your day asking the Lord, "Lord, providentially order my path." If God causes you to cross paths with someone, be mindful of what's going on. And if the Spirit of God moves you to ask somebody to come, then ask them. But to go out in the power of the flesh, be careful. Be careful. All things are full of labor. Verse 8. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear filled with hidden. The thing, verse 9, that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. All things in creation, as I said, are repeating themselves. You can calculate sunrises and sunsets according to God's ordained order of creation. While the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Jeremiah, I'll read this for you if you want to read it. It's Jeremiah 31, talking about the consistency of this creation. Almighty God setting forth the promise from this creation. Jeremiah 31, verse 35 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light for day by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars by a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me." What he's saying is, if this creation doesn't stay just like it is, just like I made it, just like I ordered it, "if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." If I can't keep all this creation just exactly the way I created it, made it just the way I made it, then I can't keep Israel either. Jeremiah 33:20-21. The scripture declares, "Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, and my ministers." Aren't you glad that this world stays just exactly the way it is? God said, "You want to see a promise from me? This is it." Verse 10 and 11, I'll stop right here. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things which are to come with those that shall come after." Is there anything new? Is anything new? Anything new? Nope. Nope. He said, "Well, now wait a minute. Hold on just a second. What do you mean there's not new? I remember when I was in college, that's the first time I ever saw a Texas Instrument handheld calculator. I was in college. You know, before that they were using, you know, slide rules and, you know, all these, you know, crazy things that I couldn't figure out either. I said, "A calculator? Well, now we got computers. I mean, now I can take a phone. I can tell you, my mama thought I was brilliant because I could say, call home, and it would say, call him home. She didn't know that I programmed that in there. See, well, that's new. No, it's not. All those elements, all that's always been here. Just God has just given some understanding. There's nothing new. Nothing is new. There's no remembrance of former things. Now, this is showing you the depravity of man's heart. God said that all things are made for His glory and honor. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. But man left himself. There's no remembrance of former things. How's that? You remember, when we go through Genesis, you remember the account of the flood? What happened? What happened because of rebellion, because of the iniquity of man's heart? What happened? God destroyed it. Man, by nature, you don't remember that. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? What about Korah, Dathan? They opposed God's man. What'd God do? He just opened up the earth and sent them to hell, alive. There's no remembrance of that. Man by nature sees these things in the Word of God, and there's no remembrance of things that are to come. Is there going to be a judgment? Did God say that there's coming a day when a trump is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to come out first, and we which are alive are on the earth going to meet them in the air? And we're all going to stand before God. There's no remembrance of that. And we're coming to the end of our life. And listen, let me remind us of something. God is ordering all these things, and the same thing over and over and over and over. And one of these days, it's over. It's over. May God have mercy upon us. Teach us. Give us a heart for Christ according to His will and purpose. Amen. All right, let's just take a break.